What's up, everybody? It's the Locked On NHL podcast. Joe DiBiase from Locked On Sabres, Mike DiStefano from Locked On Leafs, per usual here early in the week. Mike, we don't live too far away from each other. That storm last night, did you experience what was... There was so much lightning that it's almost like when there wasn't lightning, it almost felt like it was sunny and it would go dark like every half a second.
It was so weird. It was honestly such a weird... The thing that's weird about it is how much conversation we have over it, but it honestly was like a five-minute storm. It really wasn't that long. Yeah. It was just like it hit and then it was gone. So for me, I actually have a funny story. I got very intimate with the storm last night. So my family, we went out and we bought some vegetable plants that we were gonna plant, but it ended up getting too dark. So then we're like, oh, we'll do it tomorrow. But we left them outside on our table. And then about halfway through the storm, when like it started hailing and stuff, my mom immediately goes like, oh my God, the plants, they're outside. They're going to get ruined. So I'm like, are you kidding me? She's like, go outside, move them in the shed. So literally in the middle of the storm where it's just like constant lightning. You got hail. You got heavy, heavy rain. I thought that it was honestly the start of like a tropical storm. And she's like, you got to go outside and save the plants. I'm like, what? So I could die? Like, what do you mean? Like, these plants, they'll survive. They'll be okay. But of course, I had to go and do it. So yeah, I ended up getting pelted a couple of times with some hail. But honestly, I was only out there for about like 10, 15 seconds, and then it started to ease up because it was just that quick. It was weird. Yeah. It was odd, but it was really, really cool. I've seen some photographs of some of the storm from last night. I don't know if you've seen any of them. If I'll send it to you, actually. It's really, really cool. Some people got some really great photos of it too.
I've seen some of them. I've seen some videos too. And we saw the same thing, that like it was coming, and we have a one car garage. So but right before the storm started to hit and it just started lightning, me and my girlfriend are like, we should probably move your car into the garage just in case this hail is like as bad as people are saying. Cause there were videos already circulating. I think it came from north to south, so it probably would have hit you first, at least shortly before us. So we're like, we should probably move your car into the garage just to be safe. So we are scrambling as there's like lightning, just bolt after bolt right above you in the sky. Like you think it's about to downpour at any second. And we're scrambling to move everything over onto one side so we could fit her car in there. And then, funny enough, here for us, it didn't end up hailing. The lightning was there. It was pouring. And I know that we would have been, I think, the anomaly with the storm last night, because other friends of mine in the area were getting pelted with hail. But yeah, that was a crazy one. And like you said, it was quick. Like it came through, it did its damage, and it just moved right on. That's kind of how the weather goes here a lot of times. It could snow one week, and then it'll be 90 degrees 3 weeks later. You're going to get tropical storm for 5 minutes, then it's sunny the next 5 minutes. That's just kind of how it goes.
Oh yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. The weather in Buffalo. I remember I was at the I think I've mentioned this before, but I was at the snow game a couple of years ago in Buffalo against Indy, and it's an absolute blizzard. Like it was a tundra, and then you drive right over the border, you're back in Niagara Falls, there's no snow.
Yeah.
Like how do you have a blizzard 30 minutes down the road and then literally not a single snowflake or snowbank piling up in Niagara Falls, Ontario, just on the other side of the border? It's maddening way that the weather is in that Buffalo area.
For most of our listeners who are listening out of town, it's really something you can't – it's hard to explain, like, what the weather is. Like, you got to really experience it. Yeah. But that's exactly right. We got a lot of things to get to on today's episode. Mike, you did an interview with Frank Corrado that we will talk about and play a clip from coming up, who has decided to sign overseas in Sweden. We've got our series of the week. Last week, we did a lot on the Leafs and the Blue Jackets. So figure every week who knows how long until the start of the NHL playoffs. We're going to go series by series, spend a little time with each one. Today we're going to spend some time with the Hurricanes and the Rangers, who are matched up in the qualifying round in the NHL's 24-team tournament. And of course, where we should probably start off is really just with what everything is going on in the country, at least here in the United States. the death of George Floyd, all of the protests going on around the country. There's been at least one protest in all 50 states in the last week. And I know there have been some protests in other countries. There are photos from Amsterdam of just giant crowds out in front of their Capitol building. There are same thing in France, Australia. I'm not sure about in Canada, but I'm sure there's been something.
Oh yeah,
for sure. I haven't personally seen the pictures, but you just said it, and I'm sure there have been. And I do want to get your perspective on what things are like up north, because that's something I'm interested in that I don't really know about. But to start with what's going on here, Sidney Crosby put out a statement today. Connor McDavid, really two of the biggest stars of the sport, breaking their silence on the issues. Patrice Bergeron, which what I thought was like a powerful statement. Like, I thought Patrice Bergeron nailed it today, and he encapsulated his lengthy piece, his lengthy statement from the Bruins, or with the Bruins, and he doesn't have social media, but with a $25,000 donation to the NAACP in Boston, and then a similar organization back home for him in Quebec. Jimmy Vesey of the Sabres made a donation today. He made a powerful statement as well. And I don't know, like hockey players. I think I would be the first person really that's a lot of times in line to say, you know, that they don't like to be controversial. They don't like to say a lot of things that are interesting. They don't like to stray from the path too much. But I do think credit is due in this situation for the stars of the sport coming out and having their voices be heard.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I kind of got into a little bit of an argument with one of the a Toronto media member-ish, a media blogger here in Toronto. And when the NHL put out their statement, you know, saying we're with you and we want to move forward, essentially, you know, much what everyone else is doing, kind of a blanket statement. I get it. Everybody else is doing it. So they did it as well. But I didn't see the point in discarding it and trying to dismantle it. It's like, look, eventually you hope that the NHL and the players, because we already know that racism has been an issue in the NHL. Look at what happened earlier this season with Akeem Alou. Like, this isn't a new thing that has been talked about. This has been a conversation all season long, really, and much longer than that. Like, let's not just pretend that this is coming out of the blue. This has been a very, very long systemic thing, not only in hockey, but just the world in general. But I didn't see a point in the people who are trying to slam the NHL and slam some of these players who maybe hadn't spoken out before or had been advocates of police before or whatnot. I think it's still a good thing that they are finally taking a stance on the other side, the side that we perceive to be the right side. And I don't understand why people are like, oh, but this is what you said in the past. So, you know, that's it. That doesn't mean anything. It's like, well, people can change. That's the whole point of this, right? Mm-hmm. For people to change. So when they're putting out statements like this, sure, we're not expected to just forget what happened in the past. But also, I don't think you should be discriminating them on what happened in the past. Instead, going forward, we just need to make sure that they hold up to and live up to their end of the bargain when they say that they want to change the problem and change the stigma and racism in hockey and in the rest of the world, and that they are actually interested in moving forward, you know, along with the rest of the country. You know what I mean? That was the only thing that really bothered me about a lot of the athletes and teams and the organizations and the league itself. People just kind of saying, oh, you're just saying it's just to say this. It's like, well, give them a chance. You know what I mean? Sure. Give them a chance. We can hold them accountable going forward for sure, but don't discredit them right away.
Sure. And I do think, you know, I agree with the part about, especially about the part about those on social media that are like, well, why even bother with this? Like, the statement, it's just a statement. It's not going to really help anything. And basically criticizing the sincerity of these comments and these statements from players and teams. And again, I do think maybe some of it could come to fruition. I do believe that there are those individuals out there that are saying things, and leagues especially that are out there saying things, that are doing it for the PR reasons. But I agree with you in that you can't just assume that. You can't just come right out and say, well, I don't believe you, because you have every reason to want to come out and say this. that doesn't mean that they can't be learning from this. Like Patrice Bergeron, I'm going to take him at his word for what he said today, and that he wants to learn and he wants to become more knowledgeable about the issues that are going on in the Black community in the city of Boston and back home in Quebec. Like, I'm going to take him at his word that he wants to be a part of that. And, you know, if a couple of years go by and something happens that comes out that makes you know that, hey, these guys weren't sincere about this at this time, well, then I'll have to deal with that when we cross that bridge. But like you said, like, I think you put it eloquently there perfectly, is that this whole thing is about learning and this whole thing is about changing if you don't already know what's going on in the African-American community. And I think that you can't just come out and criticize these guys. The statement, I get the point that the statement does not make a difference, because I don't really think at the end of the day, putting out some words is going to do that.
No, but actions speak louder than words at the end of the day.
They do, exactly. But you know what else speaks louder than words is no words. Because, you know, like the Knicks right now have got a strange situation going on where they didn't put out a statement. And then there's this internal memo from James Dolan basically explaining why there was no word or there was nothing put out there. And you don't want to be the organization. You don't want to be the individual. You don't want to be the league that is standing by while everybody else is supporting what is going on with Black Lives Matter right now after the death of George Floyd. And if the, you know what, the status quo, if the bare minimum is putting out a statement, well, then you've got to give the guys credit that are actually doing that. Anyone that's criticizing them, I'm not on board with it.
Yeah, and they're going to criticize them if they don't do it either, right? They'll be like, how come they're staying silent? Just like the Knicks. They got criticized for staying silent, right? So it's like, well, it can't be a losing situation, exactly. But there's one other tweet that you mentioned, you know, Patrice Bergeron. There's one other that actually caught my eye today, and that's, you know, perpetual bad boy of the NHL, Tom Wilson, you know, been suspended for some greasy hits. There's a lot of people in the league that don't like him as a person, but I thought that he had a really profound and really good message today in regards to this. I'm going to read out the tweet to you in case you didn't see it or any of the listeners didn't see it. It says, quote, "Black lives matter. There is no place for racism or hate in our world. After taking some time to think about the best way to offer my support, I've decided that the one way to start is to take action in my own community. I'll be making a donation to the East of River Mutual Aid Fund, as well as the Fort DuPont Cannons Hockey Program. The Cannons, based in D.C., are the oldest minority hockey program in the country. I'm contributing to these funds today, but I'm committing to learn, to listen, and to support going forward." I thought that was great.
Yeah. Yeah. And PK Subban, I think, deserves a shout out too.
$50,000. Yeah.
$50,000. And then on top of that, reaching out to the NHL and having them match that $50,000 going to Gianna Floyd, George Floyd's daughter. So Subban stepping up and other players, like you just mentioned there, stepping up big time. And like, I am encouraged with, I guess, the last year that has been hockey in this category, because hockey gets, you know, it gets mentioned a lot how really it's the least diverse of the major sports in North America. There are very few African-American players playing in the NHL. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to think that there isn't racism existing in hockey culture anywhere, like, I'm not saying like in all of hockey culture, but to think there are instances of it, you know, all over the place, like in a high school league in Pennsylvania, or whether it be a beer league in Manitoba, or whether it be in junior hockey or college hockey, like, there of course are instances. Like, hockey's just too big to think that it doesn't happen at all. And we saw that this past year with Akeem Alou. And Bill Peters was outed. He was fired as coach of the Calgary Flames. And I want to believe and am encouraged that we're at least at a point or getting closer to a point when racism in hockey happens, like that situation with Bill Peters, it does get brought to the light of day, maybe hopefully immediately and not a decade later, so that it can be eradicated. And I'm confident that we're at a place with the sport that when it is brought to the light of day, that it will be eradicated like it was in the past year with Bill Peters.
Certainly, 100%. Like, I think everybody was on board with what happened to Bill Peters, you know, for what he did to Akeem Alou, you know, it ended his career at the end of the day too. Like, those comments stung so hard, you know, after years and years of abuse for being a black hockey player, and that was kind of just like the last straw. And then, you know, the story's out there. I hope
there's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. I hope that this honestly is, you know, the straw that is breaking the camel's back when it comes to systemic racism, not only within communities, but also within sport, and specifically within hockey, because like you said, it is the one of the major sports that aren't diverse, right? Like, we could probably sit here in 5 minutes to come up with every non-white player that is in the league right now. We could not do that for any other sport.
Right.
Right. So I truly do hope that this is a step forward for humanity and a step forward for hockey, because the perception around that in hockey hasn't been good at all for the last few years. And this year specifically, it hasn't been good. But I think that finally guys like Evander Kane and like Akeem Alou and a lot of others are finally talking about it. And you have a lot of the other players like Jonathan Toews and Patrice Bergeron and some of the superstars in the league, Crosby, also now talking about it, which is what you need. You need your stars and everybody start talking about it. And that's how you're going to get changed systematically.
Right. That Bill Peters, by the way, we didn't mention this a couple months ago when it happened, but I hope that his NHL career is over, because, you know, in a world where Kaepernick got blackballed by the NFL, if Bill Peters doesn't get blackballed by the NHL for what he did, like, I think that's crazy. But he did sign a deal with a team in the KHL. Jette Kurrenberg, I believe, is the name of the team. I know that they've got some former NHL players like Peter Holland, formerly of the Leafs. Pavel Datsyuk is on that team. And also Nigel Dawes, who played in the NHL and is African-American. So I'm sure that, you know, like, if Bill Peters, who I remember reading saying, like, he's a changed man and, you know, that's not who he is now. I mean, if he hasn't changed, we're probably going to find out about it, because there is an African-American player on that team. And I don't know if that's supposed to make me nervous, but I just thought it was worth mentioning that guy's still coaching hockey. And I know it's Russia. So I have no idea what's going on there with systematic racism. I should ask you quickly. We don't have to spend too much more time on this, on this heavy subject, because I feel that as a podcast and as a network, we've actually had a bit of an initiative going on in the past couple of days that made me very proud to be a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You know, there's one thing to be said about being an escape for people, but I also feel almost a moral responsibility to not let there be an escape. You know what I mean? Because if you suddenly prevent those that don't want to change and don't want to change their viewpoints, if you give them that escape, well, then they're out. Whereas if there is no escape and you just kind of swarm them, I think with all the issues of the world right now, I think that is kind of a necessity. But I don't think we want to be that all the way, to put that shortly. But I do want to ask you about, like, your feeling on, I know I saw, was it Doug Ford who mentioned last week, like, oh, we're not racist in Canada, or we don't have the racism issues in Canada like they do in the United States.
Yeah.
Like, what would you say to a comment like that?
I don't think it's he's not wrong. Like, it's not that we don't have racism. There's 100% racism.
Sure.
But it's not to the extent that it is in the U.S. Mike Pinball Clemens, not sure if you're familiar with who he is, but so he's an American who came to Canada, all-star CFLer, arguably one of the best CFL players of all time, and honestly, probably the most popular person living in Toronto right now. African-American man. And he was on, I forget what news outlet it was. He basically said this when asked, like, you know, you've lived in both Canada and the U.S. Like, do you notice a difference? And he said, yeah, for sure. You know, and the example he said is, when you walk into a bank in America, they automatically assume that you're incompetent. But when you walk into a bank in Canada, they believe that you are competent and know what you're doing. And he said, it's just a matter of difference, just like that, between Canada and America. not to say that there isn't racism, because there certainly is. It's everywhere. It's here. It's in Europe. It's in Asia. It's in America, Canada. It's everywhere. Like, it's not right, but it is going to be everywhere. You're fooling yourself if you try and say we've completely ridded it from existence, because it's not. It's there.
Sure.
But it's not as it's certainly not as bad as it is in the States, and you'd be hard pressed to find somebody to tell you otherwise.
Right.
I think.
All right. Well, I'm glad to get more intel on that, because I was wondering when I saw that circulating on social media the other day. All right. Joe DiBiase and Mike DiStefano here on the Locked On NHL podcast. Before we get into our Hurricanes and Rangers preview, you did an interview with Frank Corrado on the Locked On Leafs podcast. And he is playing over in Sweden. We're going to hear a clip from him in just a second here. But briefly, have you come to understand like why he did it? And what you were telling me of it. And I guess I'm not stunned by this, but it is to me like very interesting that he is almost, maybe not completely, but he's going over to Sweden because like, would you say it's too harsh to say he doesn't trust how COVID's being handled in North America?
I don't think that's it. It's not that he doesn't trust how it's being handled in North America, but when he's thinking about, you know, his finances and himself, I think he just, there's more stability he feels signing a contract in Sweden just based on how it's been handled. He's not saying that it was handled poorly over here.
Okay.
It's just the fact that over there they've literally done nothing. So like, the salary cap isn't going to be, it's not going to be changed. They're not going to not have fans in the stand, you know, like they're going to be business as usual. And just based on that, I think he made his decision to go over there because, you know, we didn't really discuss that all that much, but, you know, we talk about this, the all-stars and stuff getting their player contracts heading into free agency. But what about some of the tweeners? You know, some of the guys who are usually AHLers who might be able to scrap up enough to get themselves a call-up for a couple of games a year in the NHL if there's enough injuries that pile up, or those veterans who are on AHL contracts and they're just making a living being AHLers. And we don't talk about those people because there are a lot of players that are in that boat. And with the uncertainty of what's going to happen next year and the year after that, based on how much of an economic an economic downturn we're headed for due to Corona, I think he thought that it would be best to secure an opportunity that's being given to him now and to give him the stability that he's just unsure about here in North America. That was essentially what I gained out of his answer.
Well, let's hear a little bit here from Frank Corrado. Here's Frank with Mike on the Locked On Leafs podcast. Here's a little bit from that.
Something you just said there actually kind of piqued my mind and my interest a little bit, talking about the UFA coming up and how it could be tricky going forward. You know, nobody really knows how the economy is going to go. Nobody knows what the salary cap's going to be. Did that factor at all into your decision to ink a contract over in Sweden as opposed to try and chance it here in North America?
Yeah, I'll be completely honest with you. Like, you know, I'm obviously have vet status in the AHL right now, so that limits my chances of a roster spot. You know, you can only play 5 vets per night. And then just the uncertainty of not knowing, you know, which direction things are going to go. And obviously there's no, you know, this is different than a lockout year where the AHL would just run normally. You know, once they finish up the rest of the 19-20 season, have a little off season, the AHL can't get up and running until the NHL goes. So if that's late December, or if that's early January, then the AHL is going to follow shortly after. And that's, I think right now, looking at it from what I hear, is that's if everything goes good and according to plan, and there's no more hiccups and bumps in the road. So, you know, and Sweden's a country that hasn't really locked down the way we have. You know, they're still operating almost at a normal capacity. And that was pretty attractive for me to, you know, to have that offer from a country like that. And there's even other countries like, you know, Germany and Finland that aren't really talking business right now because they're saying it might be into December when they start and they're not sure about fans. And So there's, it's not just in the NHL and AHL, there's uncertainty. There's uncertainty also all over the globe. And, you know, the offer that I got from Moto was just, it provided me with some stability. And obviously in a well-known, well-run organization, and an opportunity, obviously, like I touched on before, an opportunity to be counted on and to play. And, this team in Moto obviously got, you know, relegated a few years back. And, I know the fans in the organization are hungry to get back into the SHL, you know, which is likely where they belong. And so, you know, there's a lot of motivation, a lot of incentive to bring that organization back to the SHL.
There is Frank Corrado. If you want to hear that interview in full, head over to the Locked On Leafs podcast and check out Mike's interview with him. All right, let's get into our series of the week. Before we get out of here, we've got the Carolina Hurricanes and the New York Rangers up today in our series of the week. If you look at the odds on this series, I would say I'm a little surprised that the Hurricanes are a pretty sizable favorite, minus 150 over the New York Rangers. Those are the odds that Bovada has it set at. One of the bigger favorites in the Eastern Conference. In fact, even with the Leafs over the Columbus Blue Jackets. And I don't know, like, I get it, I guess. I do think the Hurricanes are a more complete team. And I think, interestingly, you think back to the trade deadline, Carolina was going for it. The Rangers weren't quite giving up all the way, but they were, I think, facing reality that they were unlikely to make the postseason. They actually traded one of their top four defensemen, Brady Shea, to the Carolina Hurricanes. Mm-hmm. So he will end up playing his former team in the qualifying round. Your first thoughts on this series? Again, I think I would probably pick the Hurricanes, but I don't know if they deserve to be a heavy, heavy favorite. The Rangers are one of the better teams in the league the last month of gameplay.
Joe, if there's anything that you have learned about me this year, is that I am all aboard the Rangers train. I am all aboard. If you're telling me that you're giving me that they're giving me good odds on the Rangers to lose to Carol, I'm taking the Rangers and I'm taking those odds and I'm going to win myself a boatload of money. Because I'm being dead honest with you. I think the New York Rangers, the way that they were able to retool their team over the offseason, able to lure Artemi Panarin away from the Islanders and get Panarin, an all-star, arguably MVP-level player, on their team. It's night and day when you look at them from last season to this season. They're such a great team. And now, again, like we spoke about last week with Elvis Merzlikins, they too have an elite, elite up-and-coming young goaltender who I believe will be able to steal games and could steal this series. Again, it's going to be weird, but it's going to come down to – it could potentially, I guess. It's not always going to, but odds are it's going to come down to goaltending. And between those two, I'm taking Shesterkin 5 games out of 5 games against Peter Mrazek.
So, agreed. You know, agreed.
And even before that, look at the head-to-head season series. The Rangers won all 4 games over the season, right? And that's, you know, when before, what did they have? Only one game in the new year. Mm-hmm. So that was all kind of before the new year, before the Rangers really got going. So, I mean... I like New York's odds, and they are a heck of a team. Now, I love Carolina, too. They have a lot of great players. But honestly, I feel like New York, they're extremely balanced. They play a great system. They got them playing well over there. They got the goaltender, and they got playoff experience, too. Like, there's a lot of players on that team who have played a lot. Chris Kreider, he's played a lot of hockey. You know, so I truly do believe, I truly do believe that the Rangers are going to be a sleeper team in these playoffs, not only just in this opening round, but going forward.
Yeah, I don't mind that at all. And again, that's why I think the series would be very close and will be very close. And I think most of the points you made is the reason why. Shesterkin, I would absolutely pick in a playoff series right now over Peter Mrazek. Carolina's issue has always been goaltending. Yep. And last year, they kind of got a career year from Peter Mrazek and Curtis McElhinney. And look what happened. Like, they finally got good goaltending. And what were they? They were an Eastern Conference finalist. But they've kind of regressed again to, all right, well, they're just kind of hoping for average at this point, whether that be from Mrazek or the 25 games that James Reimer played this year. I'm sure they're hoping Alex Nedeljkovic, who is still a top young goalie that's not quite in the NHL yet. He could very well be a starting goalie for them in a year or two, but he's not that yet. The four games he played this season, as someone who owned him on my fantasy team, he did not play well. So, yeah, like goaltending, check for the Rangers. Offense to me, like the forward group is a little bit close. I think Panarin's definitely the best forward of the two teams, but I do like some of the depth that the Carolina Hurricanes have. I love them bringing in Eric Halla from Vegas. He had a good season. He only played 41 games, but he did have 12 goals. He was on a 20 goal pace. And the reason I would slightly favor Carolina, I wouldn't heavily favor them like Vegas is here, but I would slightly favor them just because I love that blue line. Like, to me, it's one of, mm-hmm. to me, the best blue lines in hockey. And I think it doesn't get a lot of credit for it because a bunch of their top level defensemen, like Jacob Slavin, Brett Pesce, and even I think Dougie Hamilton to an extent, very, very underrated. Who's the name you just said?
Dougie Hamilton, he'll be back too. So he, because remember, he broke his leg, you know, just after the new year, and he was going to be out for the season. He was going to be out. And then now with the delay, he's going to be back and he's going to be ready to go and he'll be able to compete with the Hurricanes. And that's going to be a big boost to this team too. You know, you get yourself a defenseman who's an elite goal scorer, an elite scorer and puck moving defenseman like Dougie Hamilton. That's quite the player you're injecting back into your lineup. So maybe also, shortchange him a little bit, but
Sammy Vatanen too. Don't forget they brought in Sammy Vatanen. I don't even think he ended up. He didn't even play a game for them. He's also expected to play. So think of it that way. Their blue line features the likes of, you'll have what, Dougie Hamilton and Brady and Brett Pesce or Jacob Slavin as a top pair. So it's Hamilton, Slavin, Pesce, Shea, and then Jake Gardner and Sammy Vatanen. Like, I would maybe check forward and goaltender for the Rangers, but I think Carolina's got one of the best blue lines in hockey. Yeah. But near coin flip for me.
Should be fun though. Like, I think this is going to be one of the most compelling series of the opening round, mm-hmm. just because both of these two teams are fun to watch. You know what I mean? Like they both play a really, really good style of hockey. They play very similar styles of hockey. And I mean, Mika Zibanejad, I feel like everyone sleeps on this guy. He's honestly one of the most talented players in the entire league, and he never gets talked about. Like last season, he got hurt, but before that, he was on an unreal pace. Same thing this season. He played 57 games, scored 41 goals. Yeah. 41 goals. He averaged more goals per game than Ovechkin and Pasternak. So if you wanted to award like the Rocket based on goals per game, it would have went to Mika.
Which is crazy because he's always been a very good player, but he's never been an elite level player like that. And it's strange that a guy would like kind of just take a huge jump like that at age 26. Like that's kind of rare. But
I think
he
took the jump last year because he had 74 points in 82 games last year.
But even this year was a whole other level, I feel like, right?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Yeah. I mean, he did have a 5-goal game, which probably helps. Right. Definitely helps. But still, man, he can fire the puck, and he's so underrated. He's a really good player. And if you're on fantasy, honestly, he's such an underrated player in fantasy. He's never one of like the top 20, 25 guys taken, and he always finishes in the top 10 every single – well, okay, for the last 2 years, he's been a top 10 fantasy guy. And if you're doing stats, he's even better. So he's an underrated player in the league. And I truly do believe that he could be one of those X factor type players in a playoff series.
I have a good fantasy question, by the way, but I think I have to table it for next week because I think we'll need more time with it. But before we wrap up, real quick trivia. Can you name, I already named three of them, I think. Can you name the five goalies that won a game for the Hurricanes this season? That's the most in the league. But five goalies for them have won a game this season.
Okay. Alex Nedeljkovic.
Yes.
Peter Mrazek, James Reimer. David Ayers.
We don't even need to do the fifth one. I just wanted to slip David Ayers in here. I had to bring that up for our Leafs guy here.
Joe, exactly. I'm a Leafs guy. You know, I will never forget the name David Ayers for the rest of my life. Why you got to taunt me like that, man? Come on.
I had to slip it in. I just had to torture him a little bit.
You know what's crazy? I don't know if you're a hockey card guy. A hockey card. Are you?
A little bit. I don't do it as much anymore, but as a kid, I did a lot.
Okay, so I've gotten into it more recently just because there's no sports. It's my way of staying in touch with sports, I guess. So I've gotten back into the hobby. And the update series, the new SPX update series came out with all like the second half year that rookies. So David Ayer is included in this set because he played a game and he gets a young gun now. Do you know how much money this guy's rookie card is going for right now? It came out today. The box was released today. The set dropped today. Take a guess how much his rookie card is going for.
Oh,
David Ayers, the emergency backup goaltender.
I'm going to guess, it's been so long since I've been looking at stuff like this, but I'm going to guess like $75.
Dude, $100. People are paying $100 for this guy's rookie card. I'm like, wow. You guys have lost your damn minds.
That's crazy.
You can buy a Carey Price rookie card for the same price as the David Ayers.
That's crazy.
It is insane.
I've got a Teemu Selanne rookie card that I used to be worth a little bit of money, and I have no idea what it might be worth today. Maybe I'll look into that.
Nice.
Look into that.
Oh! On the flip side.
$2,100. That can't be right. That might just be an eBay guy going nuts. Yeah, because these other ones don't look nearly as much.
But on the flip side, Shesterkin also, his card came out today, and even then, $150 for a guy who's played 12 games in the NHL.
Yeah,
it's crazy what some people do for these rookie cards and the hype that they cause. Yeah. Like you can buy. You're telling me that you would rather pay more money on a Shesterkin rookie than a Carey Price rookie? Come on.
Yeah, that's nuts.
It's wild. It's wild.
They're buying into that hype, that upside, I guess.
We may end up getting. It's funny that we're kind of talking about this, and maybe this is a quick tease. Maybe I shouldn't be talking about it because it may not be 100% cleared and ready to go yet. But I'm pretty sure I've cleared it with our guy, Sean Woodley. And I think every month we're going to start doing a monthly show on the Locked On NHL podcast show about hockey cards. So whether it's about investing or flipping or just, you know, kind of hockey card market in general. So keep an eye out for that over the next few weeks. Me and a guy named Bird Bouchard are going to be working through it. He's a YouTuber. He's a sports card investor on YouTube. He's from Windsor, big hockey guy, and he's made a decent amount of money flipping some sports cards. So I chatted with him. I had him on Lockdown Leafs, and we talked about it before. And then, you know, we decided this would be a fun thing to do monthly. So I think we're going to start doing it once a month on the Locked On, the national channel, this one.
Yeah.
So for those people who are interested in that, keep an eye out for that.
Keep an eye out for that. We'll keep you updated throughout because I would definitely be interested in that. I've got like some cards that it's been a while since I've really brought any into my collection, but I got a couple of binders sitting, actually maybe like three or four binders at this point still. I got rid of some, but I still got a bunch. So that would be very, very interesting topic that I'd be into, and I'm sure a lot of hockey fans would be as well.
Yeah.
All right. That's going to do it for us today, though. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at SneakyJoeWGR. You could follow Mike on Twitter at Mickey_Canuck. I'm sure if more comes about on this hockey card show every month, then Mike will be tweeting about it. And be sure to check out that Frank Corrado interview in full at Locked On Leafs. And we will speak to you next week. This has been the Locked On NHL podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.